Hello, this is the Daily Encouragement Net podcast that we are prepared for Friday, April 16th, 2010. We're Stephen and Brooksine Weber, and our goal in this online ministry each weekday is to prepare a message of encouragement and biblical instruction. Today's message is titled, Our Living Hope, based upon the scripture text from 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Well, one of the great Christian leaders of our time has recently received his imperishable, unspoiled, and unfading inheritance that has been reserved in heaven for him since the moment he invited Christ to be a Savior. I'm speaking of Colonel Henry Garraby, National Editor-in-Chief and Literary Secretary for the Salvation Army for 15 years before his retirement, who received his eternal inheritance on Saturday, April the 3rd. Now, his name might not be as recognizable as Max Lucado or Chuck Swindoll and others like them, but he inspired hundreds of thousands through his inspirational speaking and in writing. In 1997, I first became familiar with his writings when I obtained a book through, actually it was book order, Songs in the Night. And it was an inspiring book about 100 hymns that were born in trial and suffering. Well, Stephen and I were so impressed with this book that we purchased, I think maybe even 48 copies, a lot of copies. And we distributed them to people who had experienced loss or were undergoing intense trial. And since then, we've added about 6 or more of his 29 books to our library and have been tremendously blessed and challenged by each of his writings. His books are very biblical in content and convey thoughts of comfort, hope, and stories of believers overcoming obstacles in their lives. He encourages those enduring difficulties in every book that we have. Well, imagine my surprise this week when I opened the online version of our local newspaper, and there I found Henry Garraby's photo and obituary published, along with the fact that he had moved to our county about 4 years ago following his retirement. Now, for a long time, I had been looking for an email address or some contact to let him know how much his writings had touched our hearts, but his books did not have that information available. His writing style, in fact, has had a lasting influence on my writing skills since I began co-writing with Stephen years ago. And as we were developing our message this morning, I was able to contact Henry's widow, Marjorie, by telephone to convey our condolences. Now, Marjorie was very gracious, though she'd never met me before, and she seemed very appreciative of our words of appreciation for her husband's books. When I let her know that we would have made a personal visit to let her husband know how he had touched our lives had we known that they were living in our area, and she said, oh, he would really have appreciated that. Well, since we didn't have the opportunity here, we're going to share it today in our message, and we will share it personally with him at a future date in heaven.
And that's the nature of our living hope. Well, Henry Garraby's death, and both of us just when she talked to his wife today, we learned it's Garraby. We've always been saying Garraby, and I guess we've never heard it spoken before, but his death is a fresh reminder that the living hope we have in this life is not temporal, but it transports us into our everlasting hope reserved in heaven. The Daily Scripture provides a rich assurance to all believers and reminds us that the source of our authentic hope is found in Christ. The Apostle Peter opens his epistle with a content-filled praise to God. And I'm genuinely blessed by this simple phrase. In fact, it became the title of today's message, A Living Hope. This phrase has become a popular name for churches and ministries, although this is the only place in the entire Bible it is used.
Hope is a powerful emotion we all have need of, though many petrify their thoughts into feelings of hopelessness. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians concerning those who have no hope. Hopelessness and despair can easily take a grip on our emotions, can't they? The great hymn writer Isaac Watts provides an interesting description, and I quote, "Despair tells us that difficulty is insurmountable." Let me say that again. Despair tells us that difficulty is insurmountable.
The living hope for the follower of Christ is a result of God's great mercy and the new birth he has given us, grounded in the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Apostle Peter wrote these words to encourage believers undergoing various trials and persecution. Some 30 years after Christ's resurrection, the church entered a time of horrific persecution during Nero's reign. It was shortly after this that Peter was martyred for his faith.
Well, all of us who trust in Christ have this living hope. As we live out our lives, we have many of the same problems as other people. But our perspective differs based on an empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope is alive, and our eternal future awaits us, no matter the present circumstances. Billy Graham characteristically states it so simply, and I quote him, "As a Christian, I have hope not just for this life, but for heaven and the life to come."
Today, we need to take hold of our living hope. Don't lose sight of it. The writer of Hebrews spoke of this hope as, and I quote, "an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." As God's children, we have a living hope and an assurance that God will see us through. We encourage you this day to keep the presence of our living hope ever before you. We promise you, in doing so, you will be encouraged.
Let's pray together. Father, help me not to waste my time and energy in futile or wishful thinking. Instead, I want to fix my thoughts upon the living hope I have through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I anchor my soul in the bedrock of your holy word so that when other viewpoints counter the truths prescribed in your word, my anchor remains firm. When difficulties appear insurmountable, remind me that I serve an extraordinary God who does not rely on natural solutions, but works in the supernatural realm to meet each one of my needs. I am not tossed to and fro by wishful thinking, but I am firmly grounded in the living hope of our resurrected Savior, and it is in His name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you for joining us today. I think our message is a little bit longer than usual, but Brooksine quite properly developed those sentiments earlier in the message regarding Henry Garapi. We are on the web at dailyencouragement.net. That's our website, and that's where we post this message each weekday morning and archive them as well. This is the message we have prepared for Friday, April 16th, 2010. As typical, we do have some photos up today, including a photo of Henry
Garapi.
Mm-hmm. I am stuck there. And also, just some photos from our neck of the woods as well that you may be interested in seeing. Musically today, we suggest two songs. Of course, there are many about hope. One is one I've enjoyed. I believe it's a more recently written song, at least in the last 10 or 15 years, called "My Hope is in the Lord." And then one that we sang a lot, I believe, up in New England. We've sang it down here as well, called "My Life is in You," which has a line, "My hope is in you, Lord." Well, thank you again for joining us. Did you have something to share at the end, Brooksine? Okay.
No, but perhaps Marjorie, I know that she's going to be looking at this. We've talked, and I have her email address. And if she's perhaps listening to our podcast version, I want to dedicate this message to her and to her family.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us, and once again, rejoice that we have a living hope in Christ.